How to Overcome Temptation, Part 155, as we deal with the temptation to be proud in the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class 279. Join me in reading our foundational verse for the major series, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, common to woman. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then go down and look at verse Psalm 119 verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Have you ever had anybody to deal with you wrongly, in the wrong fashion, without a cause? Well, what God wants you to do is focus on Him and focus on His Word. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Have your Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts from your holy word. And grant me fresh anointing and unction and the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your holy word and your holy gospel, that others may come to know you as Savior, and do the same in the hearts and minds of all of the people here. For Lord, we have some proud people right here among us, and there are many proud people out there all over the world who need to hear this message, that we need to be like you, Lord Jesus, meek and lowly in heart and in mind. You have every reason to be proud if you want it to be, and yet you're meek and lowly, you're humble. And God, you have shown me that you are humble. Even though you're God, I don't understand it, but you are humble. You're the opposite of proud. And one of the ways you showed me is because of how much foolishness, sin, and evil and garbage you take from off of us, going years without punishing us, going years without chastising us, and at the same time blessing us with exquisite blessings. Your love is endless, and it does not end when you have to judge us and chastise us and punish us like you're doing right now. I thank you for it. For Lord, even some of us know that we have lost our way. Even some of us know that the church is corrupt and wicked. No doubt you have vomited Jesus Christ. You have vomited us up already, and we are ripe for judgment and chastisement and rebuke. And I continue to pray, Holy Father God, be thorough with us, because so many have not learned to this day. You know it, Lord, and even we know it. We know we're not right in the church as we should be. We know that we're not right in our families. And yet we still want to be blessed, and we're mad, and we're in full of consternation because you're not blessing us anymore, even though we know we don't deserve it. We deserve worse chastisement than this. And even in this plague pandemic, you're showing extraordinary mercy and grace that people don't even realize it. But Lord, you pointed out to me a long time ago that this church, the American church in the American country, is not in a mood to repent. Not only that, we can't take anything. And so we're having fits because of this light plague of love that you have bestowed upon us for our good, because you're that kind of God. You are the one and only loving God. In fact, your holy word tells us that God is love. I marvel at your love. I marvel at your mercy. I marvel at your grace. I marvel at your long suffering. I marvel at your loving kindness. I marvel at your humility, your patience, your meekness, your lowliness of heart and mind, that you would tarry as long as you have before you even bestow a light plague upon us. A light plague being one of those plagues that we can go and get away from it if we choose to. And we can't even take this. So, Lord God in heaven, if we don't repent with the quickness in your church and in our so-called Christian families and in our so-called Christian government and in our so-called Christian country, Lord God in heaven, continue to be thorough with us. Break us, make us, and mold us to be what you would have us to be. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray that you will get us to the point that we will obey the great commandment again and obey the great commission again. Lord, the first thing you want us to do is humble down. Some people find it very hard to do, but Lord, you know how to help us, and I thank you for it, and I pray that you'll help us to humble ourselves down and stop being proud and arrogant. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of years gone by, said, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. And that is so true. And dear friends, regarding this verse, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. The BKC said about this verse, the psalmist believed that God created him and had given him hope in the Word. Do you have hope in the Word? Or do you let people, proud, perverse people, discombobulate you so bad that you can't even focus on what you should be focusing on, the Word of God? Don't let proud, perverse, devilish people throw you off your game. You meditate on God. Keep your heart and mind stayed on God. You stay in prayer and meditate on God's Word. The BKC goes on to say, knowing that in faithfulness God had afflicted him, he asked God to comfort him and put the proud and the arrogant to shame. He then prayed that those who fear the Lord would likewise turn to him in accord with his word, and that he would be kept blameless. No matter who you're dealing with, proud and arrogant devils in your family, because you will have some, in your church and in your ministry, because you will have some, on your job, you will have some proud, arrogant, perverse devils always trying to discombobulate you, always trying to get your goat, always trying to provoke you by standing in front of something that you're trying to see, and other things, even if it is the Word of God. Don't let them bother you, that demonic, prideful provocation. You keep your heart and mind stayed upon the Lord, and you meditate on His Word, and watch this. Give yourself to prayer and to the ministry of the Word, and to the meditation of the Word. Beloved, in this psalm, the psalmist sets up a contrast between the prideful and those who do God's will, the humble, the meek and lowly of the world who follow Christ. I truly believe that one of the meekest men in America is Dr. Tony Evans. And God has blessed his life tremendously beyond measure. He's so meek and lowly about it, you'll never know about it unless somebody else told you about it, like me. God has blessed him tremendously. He's such a meek man that he can support you and help you with hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you'll never hear anything about it. He'll do everything he can to not let anybody know, including people in his own family, what his right hand did, to the point that his left hand didn't even know. His wife was right there with him. And don't tell me, because I know. God, he doesn't know me, and I don't know him. He probably never has had a desire to meet me, and I've never had a desire to meet him. I only know what he has done because God told me, and God showed me how he did it. And if I told you what he did, he would probably get into trouble with some of his family members, or some folks in his church, because I'm sure some folk in his family and some folk in his church, they do not like the person that they help so he helped so much. He did it clandestinely. And because he did it for not only this person, he did it for others as well. God has blessed him and his family tremendously. The power and the value of being humble and meek, and not trying to get credit for everything, not trying to be seen, not trying to be noticed, not using what you can do for somebody to gain something from it. You just want to be a blessing because God told you to be a blessing. Do you know that sometimes people don't have to know each other, and people don't have to ask you for help, but God will touch your heart to help somebody and help them tremendously. God will speak to your heart. God will tell you, I want you to stand with this person. I know you may not like everything about him, but stand with him. He's my servant. And you got to be meek and lowly to hear that and to do that by faith, without trying to call somebody to account or to ask them any questions. See, when people support you and stand with you and they don't bother you and try to tell you what to do with what they help you with and all this kind of thing like that, they really trying to help you. And their faith and trust is in God, not in you. The God who told them to do it in the first place. And Dr. Tony Evans has helped many people this way. Some people don't even know God. Some people don't even know Tony Evans helped them. His ministry has helped them. Yes, he's made millions off of his books. Millions of dollars go into his ministry. He has nothing to do with that. That does not change him at all. He still lives in the same old house. He's not moved by that money. He's never been a part of the prosperity gospel, but God has prospered him. And he's used his own money that he could have used to travel around the world or build 10 houses all over the world and all that kind of thing. Foolishness, because you can only live in one house at a time. He knows that. So he's giving it away. And his wife, before she died, she helped him. And there are people in his ministry don't know it. There are people in his family don't know it. I know this, that you can't give that kind of money that they have given. And I wouldn't know it unless God told me. And that's true meekness, true humility, when you don't want anything in return. Not only do you not want recognition, you don't even want a thank you. You don't even want the person to know you did it. That's God for you. That's Christ for you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the psalmist prays that his enemies, who were arrogant and prideful, would be put to shame. Do you have any enemies like this? They're arrogant, they're pride, they're proud, they're hate-filled. The psalmist prayed that they would be put to shame. And I believe it's okay to pray that. Because even though you might be humble and meek, you want to get them off of you, see. This is one of the things that people don't understand about black folk in the situation that we're dealing with in America. No matter what role, what position, what kind of a job a person has, a profession as a black person, there's because of how things have been in this country for so many years, there's an instinct in black people that as soon as they see you trying to bother them and get on top of them and hurt them, hinder them, they have this thing in them that they react and say, get off of me. You got to get off of me, man. We very sensitive about that. When we see that you're trying to play a game, trying to roll us, trying to lie to us and trying to keep us back from doing something or whatever, it's just in black folk. And it'd be good for white folks to understand that does not mean black folks have the right to loot, to rob, to steal, to stand over somebody's dinner talking about Black Lives Matter. Are you kidding me? You better not come around my dinner talking about Black Lives Matter while I'm sitting on the sidewalk trying to eat. I don't want to hear that. And I don't want you spitting over my food. No, I'm black. That's just ridiculous. Trying to make people say Black Lives Matter. You people have lost your righteous minds. I'm talking to black folk. I don't even want to hear this. That's one of the reasons why I don't tell some of you black folk where I live. Because I don't want you coming down here with that mess. Not where I live at. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. Because sometimes white folk love you better than your own people. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Okay? I've had police officers and people from the sheriff department showed me more love and respect than my own people, white folks. And they have shown my sons this as well. Okay? So I know you don't like to hear that, but that's the reality. And that's that truth is played over in all 50 states. And before you judge me, you better look at your heroes. Obama, Oprah, Gail, Jesse Jackson, all your heroes, even Reverend Al Sharpton, most of their friends are white and Jews. They hang with these people. They don't hang with black folk all the time. And you shouldn't either. Because all people have gifts and talents and abilities that they can help. You ought to help one another. Don't be so proud that you cannot be friends with white folks and brown folks and yellow folks and red folks and black folks. Humble yourself down. You take Obama, for example. I would venture to say 90% of his best friends are white, if not more, not black. That's your hero. Same thing for Oprah. Go to their offices and go to their companies and see how many black folk they got working there. They got one or two, but mostly white folks. Don't you get mad with me. Or Jews. Don't get mad with me. I'm just telling you the truth. Because they realize and they know, as you know and understand. And by the way, there are more white folks in Black Lives Matter, and more white folks. White folks are backing Black Lives Matter, supporting Black Lives Matter with millions of dollars, way more than what black folks are contributing. That's just the way it is. So to be mad and angry and upset with white folks is ridiculous. So don't come down here marching where I live at. I don't need that. I'm not going to tell you where I live at because I don't know. You're not going to get me killed. I'm very, very at peace and comfortable. And I thank God for all of my neighbors. And most of them are white. That's right. I can leave my door open. I ain't bothered about none of them bother me. And in fact, if you bothered me, they will... They will take care of you. Because where I live, everybody has not one gun, not two guns, but three or four guns. They have one gun for hunting, one gun for show, one gun for protection, and one gun to shoot somebody who attacks their friends. So I'm in good hands. We don't need that where I'm at. No. Yes, there are races all around. But one of the things that you might want to humble down and do is believe in Jesus Christ. Black folks and white folks and red folks and yellow folks, because something, Jesus puts a mark on you. Where people who might be against you otherwise will show you favor. I'm used to, listen to me very carefully, I am used to having God's favor on me. If I went into some places without God's favor on me, they would treat me differently, I'm sure. But God makes them show me favor. I don't know how he does it. All I know is I just show up, and what I wanted, what I needed, I will even try to talk myself out of it, and they have already given it to me. Go ahead, you got it. Don't worry about it. My youngest son saw that yesterday. Something that should have been a problem was not a problem. We were in there 3 minutes and we were done. And we got everything we wanted. The dear white lady did everything she could and did everything in her power to make it all right. Okay, is everything okay over here? Okay, she can't see or hear. You need to focus on that. Whenever you check something and it's not working, you need to let me know. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the psalmist prays that God would cause them to fail in their plots against him because they dealt dishonestly. They dealt wickedly. They dealt perversely with him. See, and this is another weapon that you folks need, you black folks and white folks and red folks and yellow folks. You need to learn how to pray. Pray that God, you need to learn how to pray the chariot wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots. You understand what I'm saying? Those who might be opposing you proudly, arrogantly. They may be in your family. Some of your greatest enemies are in your family. They're not white folks. It's your black wife, or your black husband, or your black devilish son, or black devilish daughter. I know you don't like this, but I don't care about that. You know that. Some of your greatest enemies are close to you. They're in your own family. Not only are they black, they are your own blood. One black lady said something the other day I haven't even heard. I've heard of Uncle Tom and all of that, but she called him something worse than Uncle Tom. She said he's skin folk, not kin folk. Talking about the DA who oversaw the case last week regarding Breonna. One black lady ran back from California, not from the deep south, and said he's skin folk, not kin folk. He's an Uncle Tom is what she's saying. I never even heard of that myself, and I've been living quite a while. Boy, I tell you. See, and so what you need to do is learn how to pray. Pray and ask God to chop them chariot wheels off before they get to you. Pray and ask God to throw out their wicked plans. Check it again. Furthermore, they did so without a cause. See, you know, it's one thing for people to attack you with a cause, or at least a perceived cause in their minds. They're giving you a reason why they're doing it. But to attack me with your pride, your proud self, and to try to hinder me from doing what God has called me to do, for no cause, that makes it even worse. Because of this, he prayed that the proud would be punished. Now, I have not really prayed prayers like that part, but I have prayed prayers of prevention against people, but I've never prayed, as far as I can remember, that God would punish somebody. I've never been really led to do that. And because God has shown me so much favor down through the years through his son Jesus Christ, I've never really had a reason to do that. In fact, I just trust in the Lord And what normally happens to people who fight against me, they reap what they sow. They get theirs. I've seen God do this. If I would just remain quiet and trust in the Lord and pray without ceasing, give myself to prayer and to the ministry of the word, I've seen my enemies fall like flies. I've seen them get destroyed in the ditch, in the hole that they dug for me. They fall right into it. I've seen that for years. I've seen it for years. So I haven't had to pray that. I have never thought to pray that. Now, as for the psalmist, he would not be diverted from meditating on and following God's commandments, God's word. He was fixed. And may I lovingly encourage you, dear friend, make up your mind to get fixed. Make up your mind to get fixed. No matter what the devil does, no matter what proud, stubborn, devilish people do, even in your own family, you're going to have those Judases and Jezebels, Sanballats and Tobias in your own family. And I cannot help but tell you, you need to expect that. Your greatest enemy, as Jesus Christ said, will be in your own household. Don't be shocked when that happens. Don't be shocked when your wife turns against you, or your husband turns against you, or your child that used to be a pleasant, cheerful, joyful blessing to you turns against you and turns into a devil, male or female. Don't be shocked by that. I love what Dr. Spurgeon said the other day. Don't be shocked at things like that. Expect it, is what he said. Expect it. But here's how you remain cool, calm, and collected. You give yourself to prayer and to the meditation of the Word of God. And then on top of that, even if you're not a preacher, give yourself to the ministry of the Word of God. One of the greatest things you can do to avoid becoming stagnant and spiritually fat and overweight, obese, and constipated is to give out the word every day. Do something. And in this day and time of the internet, everybody who names the name of Christ can serve God and reach somebody for Jesus. Some of you people who are depressed, defeated, and disgusted, and sad and mad right now, sitting on the couch trying to get some happiness and some joy from Netflix, you'll never get it. If you can pray, why don't you put that on a podcast? Or Instagram, a short prayer once a day. Send it out to people and include the gospel in it. Why can't you start a series regarding how God led you to himself and how you got saved and put it online permanently for the world to see? Why can't you show the world and allow the world in on your family devotions? Probably because you don't have family devotion, but start one. Some of you young single ladies who are depressed, defeated, disgusted, and sad, start a podcast encouraging yourself in the Lord and encouraging other young ladies who are single and who are sad and depressed and defeated. Everybody in the church, everybody who names the name of Christ can serve God now in a very real sense and reach every corner of the world and won't have to spend a dime. it's a shame if you don't have a ministry. I'm not talking to pastors and preachers. I'm talking to Christians. It is a shame before God if you don't have a ministry online somewhere, as far as I'm concerned, considering what we're dealing with in this world. Everybody needs a word of encouragement. Everybody needs the gospel. Get busy, get busy, get busy for God. Humble yourself down and serve God. And stop thinking about yourself all the time. Pull me and pull mine. And so, ladies and gentlemen, none of the wicked deeds of his proud enemies would cause him to lose trust in God. Why? Because he gives himself to prayer to God. He gives himself to meditation on the Word of God. And he gives himself to the ministry of the Word of God. You do those three things, there's not a devil in hell, there's not a devil in your house that can bring you down. You just continue to rise up and rise up over your enemies. Just like that mule that was dropped in a hole. And every time they tossed dirt on that mule, he just would shake it off and pat it down. Shake it off and pat it down. Before they knew it, that mule that they were trying to get rid of was looking them dead in the face. And God would give you that kind of victory as well. Dr. Charles Spurgeon said, the psalmist begged that the judgments of God might no longer fall upon himself, but upon his cruel, proud, arrogant enemies and adversaries. And you'll find some of these in your own family. I'm here to tell you, that's what Jesus promised. That's what he told you. Why would that be the case? Why is it that your family would turn against you? Well, if you were the devil, who would you make these choice servants of God? Who would you make enemies of these choice servants of God? It'll be somebody close to them, not somebody that does not know them. Somebody in the family, somebody in your church who's been serving a long time, somebody at your job that you've talked over the water cooler many, many times. They've kicked up their heels at your house, at the barbecue, and now they're your chief enemy, your Judas and your Jezebel, your Sanballat and your Tobias, constantly trying to hinder you. These are they who are never happy for you anymore about your successes in life, so you might as well keep it to yourself. And not only that, see, this is the reason why we have a bunch of liars in the church. Jesus said some of your greatest enemies will be in the church, in your own family. We don't say anything about that today, do we? No, here's what we say on Facebook and Instagram. Oh, I woke up this morning to my loving wife, and even though she had not gotten up yet, she still looked so beautiful. But you don't tell anybody that her breath stinks. My husband served me some avocado toast and bread in bed this morning on some bread. And he's such a wonderful husband. All of these lies. You people need to stop lying. You got some enemies in your own family. I would to God you had a wonderful, sweet, loving, always perfect marriage and family. But that is not the case, you liar. You're a liar. Your feet ain't made and your heart pumps peanut butter. Cut the foolishness out. Cut the lying out and tell the truth and have a real relationship. Have a real family. You people don't even speak to each other. You be doing like this in the kitchen, dodging each other and all this kind of stuff so that you won't touch. You have secretly agreed not to have relations anymore because you hate each other. But on Facebook and Instagram, you little Christian pastors and Christian pastors' wives with your lying selves got everybody thinking y'all so madly in love. We're going on a trip together. You're going on a trip together all right, not to speak to each other and get away from each other as soon as you get there. You have enemies, prideful, proud, devilish enemies in your own family, in your own church, in your own ministry, on the job. Everything is not perfect, is it? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Everything is not wonderful and dandy, is it? That's obviously the case because we're under this plague pandemic, because God is sick and tired of your hypocrisy, your phoniness. I know you don't like to hear it. You said, preacher, I tell you what, you can't preach in my church. I tell you that. That's fine. I don't want to have to go to your church because I would have to backslide to get into fellowship. I don't want to be invited to your church. I'm invited all over the world. And I tell the people who invite me, I've already preached around the world. And the reason why you want me to come is because you can see me right now, live. So more than likely, I'm not going to go through the expense of trying to go where you are right now. I've turned down many invitations because there's some people around the world who want to hear the truth. And one of the reasons why they invite me is because they see me live right now via the internet. They want to meet me in person. And I'm saying that's not necessary. I'm the same. No, I don't want to go to your church and have to backslide. Oh, are you kidding me? I would have to backslide to get into fellowship with your church, man. You couldn't handle it yourself. They'd be ready to run you out of there for having me. Well, I tell you, brother, you hard. Now, I'm not hard. The word of God is hard to you because you don't want to do it. Be humble, be meek, be lowly in mind and receive the word of God and do it and be blessed. God will not suffer those who hope in his word to be put to shame, for he reserves that reward for haughty spirits, proud and arrogant people. God specializes in bringing down hard-headed, proud, stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked people down to the ground, to the dust. He specializes in it. He's good at it. He's very good at it. And you can't stop him. They shall yet be overtaken with confusion and become the subjects of contempt, while God's afflicted ones shall again lift up their heads. Shame is for the proud, for it is a shameful thing to be proud. It is a shameful thing to be proud and arrogant and haughty. Shame is not for the holy, for there is nothing in holiness to be ashamed of. He would leave the proud in God's hands and give himself up to holy studies and contemplations. And that's what you need to do. Don't let the proud get you off your game. Let them go on and be destroyed. Pray for them. Try to witness to them. Try to help them. But as they're trying to hinder you, help, you need to realize and understand that they're digging their own hole. They're digging, if you will, their own grave. If they won't repent, let them keep on going. They'll be in the hole soon enough. You keep your focus on God. You give yourself to prayer. You give yourself to the meditation of the Word of God. You give yourself to the ministry of the Word of God. And God will keep you in perfect peace. To obey the divine precepts, we have need to know them. We need to be acquainted with them and think much of them. Hence, this persecuted saint felt that meditation must be his chief employment, and may I say enjoyment. He would study the law of God and not the law of retaliation. The proud are not worth a thought. You're wasting your time dwelling on what the devilish proud people are trying to do to you, sir, ma'am. They're not even worth a thought. The worst injury they can do us is to take us away from our devotions, our prayer time, our meditation time, our ministering time. Don't let these devils pull you away from that. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Let us baffle them by keeping all the closer to our God in Jesus Christ when they are most malicious in their onslaughts. It is the devil behind them. It is the devil in them. Because this is the devil's sin, pride. It ruined him, and it will ruin you. It will ruin them, your enemies. So instead of falling into the trap of pride and being ashamed by the judgment of God, follow the example of the psalmist and meditate on the word of God and obey his commandments and pray without ceasing. And so, dear friend, today, if you struggle with pride, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face that temptation. Yield not to temptation. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for our time together and around your holy word, and what a powerful word it was today that you gave us. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Those who are proud among us and around us, help them to humble themselves down. Help us all to humble ourselves down and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins, because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The word "believeth" means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present and to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell. And you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on, I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.